Welcome to Footcast episode 48. Thanks for joining us again. I'm your host, Daniel Flame Condor Worthington. And this week, joining me in a trifecta of awesomeness, we have coming to us live from Zombie Watch 2009 in the ruins of Raccoon City, James.
Hi. What was that?
Sorry?
What was that?
And from his secret hiding place above the toilet in the facility level of GoldenEye, Anthony.
Hello.
So as usual, let's start what we always do with games played. James, have you been playing anything interesting? Anthony, have you been playing anything good lately?
Well, not lately, because it's been a while since I was in the podcast. But
only a month.
I would like an excuse to talk about Soul Bubbles.
Go for it.
Have you played your copy yet?
No. I'm the one who told you to buy it, and I didn't even play it.
Yeah, you showed me the video off, and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta get that. And literally got it like a couple of days later.
Did you get it
from like
the
most games
sale?
I play? No, but you made me think it was fairly rare, but I actually saw it in virtually every place that I went to.
I just remember, I think it may have been in the US that it was rare, because I think in US it was only released at Toys R Us or something.
Well, I think it's just discontinued, that's all. Oh, and it's only a year old, so there's still stock lying around. But Soul Bubbles is a game where you have to blow a bubble from the beginning of a stage to the end of the stage. It's not one of those games where if you touch, you know, a surface, the bubble pops. It's not like that. You've got these seven different souls who can't survive outside the bubble for more than like 10 seconds or so. So you have to draw a bubble around them, and then you got to blow them to the finish. And you've got three different abilities to help you get there. You got one which allows you to draw new bubbles of almost any size, and you can draw quite a few of them, but there is a bit of a hardware restriction there. Another ability that just simply shrinks them, and then another one, the main one, which is cutting, and you can cut the bubble into smaller bubbles, into more of them, which is useful for getting through really, really small cracks. And then you can also cut the wall between two bubbles to merge them back together. And it's got this indie games feel to it, where they've got this really ubiquitous idea, which is simple, and then they kind of expand that out into a full game. The top screen is basically just a map and, you know, the amount of little star dust that you've collected along your way. In the bottom screen, just kind of tap where you want your little soul herder guy to appear, and then you kind of slide the stylus to determine, you know, what direction and how hard you blow, and that's pretty much it. Every world has like its own little theme, so I don't remember what the first world's theme is. I think it's got no theme. And then like the second one, which is Australia, they've got like these rock slides that get in your way, and then later worlds have like...
Of course, that makes sense. We always have rock slides.
And then later in the game, you've got like fire that you can't get past, and you've got to draw a bubble in the water, and then you kind of got to blow the bubble over to the fire and put the fire out. And you do all these other things like deliberately pop the bubble so that the water kind of splashes in the right direction, then you got to quickly draw another bubble around the water before it falls onto the ground so you can get through certain areas, and the game just kind of goes like that. And it's really quite good. It's a lot of fun to play, and it's very, very relaxing.
It doesn't use the mic at all, does it?
No, it doesn't. I thought that it might because you're blowing bubbles, but that's just at the beginning.
Kirby canvas sort of control scheme almost.
Well, you're not really drawing, you're just kind of, you know, pressing and sliding the stylus to kind of blow the bubble where you want. And then occasionally you're going into the cut mode and you're cutting like little bits of weed that get stuck on your bubble, then you got to cut to get it loose, and pressing on enemies and stuff like that. It's a very easy game, but that doesn't mean it's not a good game. It's the kind of game where you have fun playing it, even though it is fairly easy. Most maps, I get 100% on my first playthrough, and I spend about 10 minutes on each map.
It's not bad.
It's only like a year old, and it's already discontinued, so it's like $30 or less virtually everywhere. I think it's $20 pre-owned at EB, and I got mine $25 at Target.
I wonder
and
if
the
they
other
could,
game,
sorry. I was gonna say, I wonder if they could maybe port it to DSiWare or something.
It's the kind of game, because it's got that indie feel to it, it would work really well on a downloadable service, and it'll get the attention that it deserves. And the other game is The World Ends With You, which I think last podcast I said I'd only just gotten into it.
Yep.
I don't remember. Yeah, turns out I really, really like it. And, you know, if you haven't already gotten it, and you're like me and you turned it down, I think everybody should go out and just buy it because it is awesome.
I think it's a lot of people see it as a Square game and they sort of turn it down thinking that it's going to be the usual Square turn-based boring sort of thing. But it's like one of the most unique RPGs you've ever played. It's, I think, it, other than the whole setting and the emo kids and the spiky hair and the zippers all over the place, other than that, there's a lot of stuff in it that'll appeal to the people who don't like the traditional RPGs.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I didn't realise that. Everyone said, oh, there's no random battles, blah, 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 and I didn't listen. Like, all the things that I don't like about JRPGs are not in The World Ends With You. You can save anywhere you want, so there's no stupid save points. There's no random battles. There's no turn-based battles. You don't have a group of characters where if you don't use some, you know, the characters that you do use level up, and then all the ones you don't use all get weak and you can't use them. It doesn't have that. It doesn't have really repetitive, really long magic animation, which is just boring to sit and watch. And it doesn't have any of that crap. It doesn't have those overworld maps where everything goes really, really small and you walk around the world map. It doesn't have any of that. And if those are the kinds of things that have put you off buying The World Ends With You, you should really reconsider getting it because it's awesome.
One thing, like with the no random battles, it's great because you can choose, like the way with battles is you go into, it's been a while since I played it, but you go into a mode where you can see all the enemies floating around you, and then you can pick to take on as many as you want at the same time or only one, and just the fact that you can also change the difficulty of the battles to suit you, like the harder you make a battle, the more experience you get, but also you can make it a lot easier if you want to. It's a lot more accessible for people than most RPGs.
What did you think of the battle system? Like the whole entire two screen thing.
I was just starting to get used to Shiki, the first partner that you have, and then all of a sudden I get a new character, and all of a sudden it gets a lot harder for me to kind of control the top screen, but I like it. It works.
Did you find yourself using both screens at the same time, or? Because what I did toward the end was I just ended up ignoring the top screen and just using the bottom screen completely, or am I the only
No, I play on both screens.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, how do you explain it to someone who hasn't played it?
Well, the bottom screen you control with your stylus, and the top screen you control with your D-pad. You can just put the top screen on autopilot if you want, and it usually takes care of itself, or you can take full control and try and keep an eye on both battles.
On the top screen, though, you don't actually move the character around. You just press whether you want to attack to the left or whether you want to attack to the right. Or if you want to block. With the bottom screen, you're controlling the main character, and you've actually got touch screen gestures which determine what magic you use, and there is a crap load of magic in the game, and it takes a while to get used to both of them, because on the bottom screen, you have to actually click and drag on your character if you want to move him, which is fairly challenging, and actually one of the reasons why I bought a DSi. My DS Lite was kind of dying. Touchscreen calibration was going off and was making playing The World Ends With You really hard, so I just went out and bought a DSi. So it's a bit tricky to learn the combat, but it is really worthwhile once you have. And yeah, you can make it as easy as you want.
Speaking of DSi, have you checked out any DSiWare yet?
No. Haven't really considered any of them. They all look kind of...
There's lots of good stuff on there.
Ordinary.
You might like the Mario Donkey Kong one.
It's supposed to be like Lemmings, isn't it?
Kind of. And there's also...
I don't like Lemmings. I've never liked Lemmings. I've never got the appeal.
Protecting those little green-headed guys who are annoying as hell. Nothing else? No, nothing on the Wii?
Mum. Wii hasn't been hooked in for about a month.
ColecoVision? I don't know. James.
I've got two games. The first one is a Cyborg. It's a bit of a... It's a really strange situation because it came out for like a week. I'm pretty sure no one got any copies. And then it dropped to about $28 or $38 a big W. Really, really it dropped within the first week down to $28 from like 100 or 70 or something. It's not that, it's not, it's a really good polished game, but it doesn't do anything special or new. You know what I mean? It feels as if it's based off like, you know, a cartoon, but it's really, I feel like I've seen it before. It's just so derivative and so unoriginal. But the gameplay itself is a really good, like, throwback to, you know, the old school beat 'em up, like Turtles in Time, all the ones that Capcom had, like from Dinosaurs and stuff like that.
Final Fight.
Final Fight. No, not Final Fight. Oh, yeah, Final Fight. True, sorry.
What?
I got confused. I get that confused with Streets of Rage.
Well, they're the same game. Oh, Capcom didn't make Streets of Rage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah, no, it's like, it's really fun. Like, there's a lot of moves. The combat system is okay. There's three different characters. Each of them has specific movesets. You can play co-op, drop in, drop out. It's really, really good the way that that's handled as well, because it's pretty much seamless. The graphics are pretty nice. You can do moves and you can do special moves and stuff, like, between two characters if you're playing co-op, and, like, it's, and there's a special move for each combination of people for each enemy, so there's quite a few moves and stuff in the game. So, and also, like, depending on which order the characters initiate the attacks, there's different moves too, if that makes sense. So what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of moves and stuff. They put a lot of effort into the game, and it's really, really polished. I haven't run into any bugs yet, but, like, it's just so unimaginative.
Bland.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, for $28, I don't know. I wonder if it did go or not, but it was really, really fun.
Well, apparently it did in the US. I think they were saying it only sold, like, 500 copies in its first week or something.
Yeah, see, that's horrible. But, I mean, it doesn't look appealing at all. The box looks horrible. Everything just looks horrible about it.
It looks... I don't think it looks horrible. It just looks generic.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really... I mean, I don't know. But the problem... I'm really hoping that they don't think, you know, the Wii isn't a good platform to develop on because this game didn't do well. Because, I mean, they didn't really market it that well and all that kind of stuff.
What happened with it originally? Because it was meant to be something completely different, and then they sort of changed it halfway through development.
It was like a fighting game, and it was more cartoony looking, and with mini-games and stuff in between. But obviously they thought, you know, it was kind of getting a bit stupid. And no one liked it, so they had to completely revamp it.
And still no one likes it.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, like, it's...
Except James, he likes it.
All the environments are destructible and stuff, and it's just a lot of effort has gone into it, and it is very, very polished. But, like, I mean, is it imaginative, you know?
They probably should, I don't know what they did wrong with it.
And
it's
really difficult, too. So if you like those, you know, old-school beat-em-ups that are difficult, it's really, really a good game to try to pick up. And it's probably cheap now, so, yeah.
And the other
the game is Spyborgs.
Wait, what?
Spyborgs.
Spyborgs.
The other game is DJ Hero.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with it. I thought it would be shit, well, not good, to be honest. I'm really impressed with how, you know, the mixes, they all sound really good. Most of the actions and stuff implemented quite well in the actual songs themselves.
Yeah.
It's definitely much more complex than Guitar Hero, but at the same time, it's much more approachable because the easy modes are quite easy. And because I started playing this one on Expert, and I'm still doing quite well, which I didn't expect for my first try. So, I mean, I don't know if it's easier or if the system's just a bit different, but, yeah. Something to note, though, is that the Wii version is the only version that has, an online store, like, in the game, which is good, because, I mean, the Wii doesn't have, like, a marketplace or a store like the other consoles, but I wish that was in the other version, too.
It has a store, but it's a bit of a pain.
Yeah, not really anything you guys want to know about it.
I'm sort of interested in it, but I've also really been burnt by the music games. Like, after everything, with my version of World Tour, just everything going wrong with it, I just really not that committed to putting that much money down on a...
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, because the only reason I picked it up was because I did get it for $127, which is, you know, only about $7 and a brand new, release game in some instances, so I thought for that price it would be worth it, and it definitely is. It's definitely, like, not an interest, it's not just, like, you know, a half-ass get it out on the shelves as fast as we can kind of setup,
yeah,
like Guitar Hero is now. It's more of a, it actually does feel like a new experience, and I think the company behind it did a really, really good job on bringing that kind of stuff to the video game market. So I'm really,
it's a shame that...
I'm really looking forward to the downloadable content that they bring out. Because at the moment, there's way too much hip-hop, and I hate hip-hop.
That's another thing. I like dancey sort of stuff, but hip-hop's a bit off-putting to me.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the remixes...
More Daft Punk, less Eminem, please.
And, stuff. And the Daft Punk remixes are amazing.
Well, it's Daft Punk, I'd expect it.
So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I find it a bit strange that all these famous DJs, like Paul Oakenfold, and I'm pretty sure one of the other, like, Armin Van Buuren, or someone else endorsed it, But then the only really famous DJ that has got endorsements like in the game is Daft Punk. And you've got
Punk are probably arguably the most well-known.
Yeah, true. I'm not saying they've just been there, but I wish there was a few more. Because I mean, if you're here, you've got at least five famous musicians in each game.
Kurt Cobain.
So I suppose they're holding off a lot of things for the sequel. Or like,
I guess, because this is just sort of probably a test. And
yeah. I mean, it's really... They've also... A nice feature as well is you can actually plug in a guitar as well. And it's only for about five or six of the songs, out of 93 songs, so, yeah. You can play guitar along with, like, being a DJ. So, pretty cool, but, I mean, I wish that was a little bit more expanded on. But obviously, they can't do it for songs that don't have any guitar in them.
I reckon drums would have been probably a lot better as well.
Yeah, maybe, like, I mean, when the new one comes out, I reckon they are working on a new one, no doubt.
Oh, they've said they're planning a sequel. Before it came out, they said, yeah, we're going to be making a sequel for it. I mean, it is Activision we're talking about.
Yeah, I know, but it's noisy. I just, like, wish deep down that Harmonix made this, because then all my downloadable content that I might buy for this one will hopefully work on the new one. But I don't know.
Harmonix isn't working on, like, a DJ sort of thingy, is that, are they?
No, they're only focusing on Rock Band at the moment.
Fair enough.
I mean... To be honest, I think they do that whole...
Do we have Rock Band 2 yet?
No. We got Rock Band Beatles.
Yeah, I was actually surprised.
Ooh, I think they...
Lego Rock Band later on in the year.
Yeah, and I think they're going to bother releasing 2 down here.
So yeah, I mean, it is. It's a really good experience, and it is quite fun to play. It's very, very... It's one of those games that you can really learn to play it really well. And then... Yeah. People will, you know, people watch you play it and they get quite, feel pretty good when you're playing it and showing off to people.
Okay, so it's got the Guitar Hero effect.
Yeah, and people do want to try it, but I know that, like, I've shown it to two people already, they're both put off by how complicated it was, which is a bit of a shame. So I don't know, it might not have that same, because it's not just pressing buttons and strumming, it's like, you know, you're pressing buttons, you're scratching by moving the disc, you've got the crossfader as well. And you've got the special effects style, so it is actually a much more complicated setup when you think about it.
It's probably a lot more for the gamers, the so-called hardcore gamers and the casual sort of crowd.
Yeah, I reckon that it will take off eventually. I reckon it's going to be a very, very slow start, but once people start showing each other, like, you know, the game, and they do get interested in it, they'll, you know, pick it up. So
that's what happened with Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I know there is a lot of poppy crap that a lot of people would like.
Yeah.
The horrible, horrible Gwen Stefani song. Yeah.
Okay, but that's about it. Nothing on the DS?
I did get Nostalgia, but I've only played about 5 minutes of it. It's a bit too hard to talk about it yet.
Okay.
Basically, it's just an RPG set in the real world, which I think is a pretty cool idea. But, that's all for now.
Okay, cool. So it just leaves me, what I've been playing. Picked up yesterday. Honestly, I haven't been playing as much of my DS as I'd like to have been, because I've been playing other portable stuff and feeling really bad and dirty about it. But the other day I picked up, just because I sort of wanted to, game James loves, Gianna Sisters for DS.
What is it?
Is it Gianna or Gianna?
Isn't it Gianna?
I don't know. Gianna Sisters for the DS. Gianna Sisters was a game that was originally made for the Commodore 64, which is pretty much... I think it was meant to be just a straight sprite swap from Mario Brothers to Gianna Sisters, and was Nintendo pretty much got it taken off the shelves right away, and all this convoluted history with it. Picked up the DS version just because Bernie was really big on it. Some other people I know have enjoyed it. I'm gonna say it's not that bad. I'm enjoying it a fair bit. Only up to the third world so far. I haven't played a lot of it. But initial impressions are pretty good. I'm loving the music. It's got a great Commodore 64 Amiga sort of European feel to it.
It is the same, you know, it's the same music as the original.
Well, no, it's remixed.
Oh, well, remastered, but yeah.
Yeah. I know, it sounds really good. I like that sort of music, though, so... It feels
You're a sucker for all that retro stuff.
Yeah, no shit. I reckon it looks really good. The pixel art's pretty good. Again... really harkens back to sort of the 16-bit era. Probably a little bit more detail than 16-bit stuff. But yeah, it looks really good. The colours are bright and colourful. The enemies look really well designed. I love how whenever you jump on an enemy, they just... Like in Mario, you jump on a Goomba and it disappears. In this game, you jump on one of the owls, which are meant to be Goombas, and they just sort of sit there, like laying there dead on the ground. which I think is a nice touch. The gameplay, it's very straightforward. If you've played Mario Brothers 1, you're going to have no problem playing it. You just walk, jump, shoot the occasional fireball. The walking, I found it a little bit slow, but it sort of plays well. The levels are really nice, short and sweet. I think most of them you'll get done in a minute or so, but there are like 90 levels altogether. They're very straightforward. I'm loving the level design. I don't think I've really been bored of it yet. It is like, it does feel a little bit on the easy side thus far. I haven't really been challenged with it. As I said, I'm only up to world 3. I've heard it does get really hard later on in the game, but so far I am really enjoying it. The only thing I sort of think that's a bit stupid with it, I don't think they should have released it as a retail game. I think it would have been a lot better as a download for DSiWare or WiiWare. I think it just... Yeah. I don't know, it just... something like this, it's a good game, but I can't see many people picking it up, but downloadable, I think it could do a lot better.
I got rid of my copy as fast as I could, but I think that because it's so simple, it's very, very good. Honestly, now I've got to be careful what I say.
Because you gave it a 4.5.
A lot of people really liked it, but besides the platforming people who seem to like it for some reason, you've got...
It's a well-designed platform game.
I mean, the only thing that really I liked about it was the artistic direction and the animation and the whole entire graphical presentation of the game. I think that was really good. But the gameplay itself was boring. I reckon it was, like, so... not outdated, but, like, I don't even know how to explain it anymore.
Oh, it's very retro.
It's too retro.
Yeah. It does feel... I think it feels a lot better than playing, because, I mean... I'm not a big fan of the original Super Mario Brothers. I don't know why, it just sort of rubbed me the wrong way. But I really do enjoy this, even though they play very similar.
Yeah.
I think that it might just be a graphics thing.
I think that also the good thing about that game also is you're playing as girls. It's very simple. It's a good like entry-level platformer for younger girls as well.
It's
very marketable to those kinds of people as well. But... I mean, I haven't seen it installed anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I picked mine up. I was just at game the other day and I just saw it there by chance for $40. I thought, oh, I'll get that.
I just feel that it's not varied enough to be a retail title.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It should have been DSiWare.
And, you know, I like the idea of, you know, you can change it to Punk Diana and she shot fireballs and stuff, but...
That was cool.
Like, I mean, I was hoping there would be, like, other forms. I mean, there's the bubble gum and the soda, which is like, I can't, like, you like different methods of movement and stuff. So I really wish they had, like, you know, Mario has his fire suit, he's got his Tanuki suit and like stuff like that.
I mean, again, when you go looking in context, the original was a sprite rip of the original Mario Brothers game, which this is, I guess, supposed to be a remake, but yeah, I agree. They should have added a bit more to it with some different abilities to maybe just vary it up a bit.
Yeah, well, that was my biggest issue. It just was boring for me.
Yeah, it's very much the same. Well, as I said, I'm only two levels through, and with a game like this where your character can't do a lot, you sort of live and die by level design, and it does feel a little bit bland to begin with, but on the same side, they're not poorly designed levels, if you know what I mean.
Okay. I don't know.
Not really, no.
It didn't impress me at all.
No, fair enough. I can see some people hating it, and I can see other people like myself really enjoying it.
And I know that my score caused a lot of controversy, apparently.
I mean, if you are after probably a really good platforming game on the DS that's come out this year, I'd probably suggest importing something like Henry Hatsworth over this. But if you are just looking just for another platforming game and you've played most of the other ones out there, then this is quite a good one to check out. The other games I've been playing, yesterday I just sat down and played a bit more Secret of Mana on the Virtual Console. Didn't play a lot of it. I got past the Witch's Castle and beat the Spiky Tiger boss, which probably everyone hates. You've both played it, haven't you?
Yeah, it was so long ago, I don't remember.
Yeah, but you know, Spiky Tiger's a pain in the ass boss to beat. But yeah, beat that.
What was the dungeon?
The what Witch's dungeon Castle? Is it? The Witch's Castle? It's like the third boss you fight in the game. It's really early on.
It's seriously over 10 years ago or something.
Yeah. It's just after you get the girl as joining your party. But yeah, beat that, and then I went and beat another boss and got ice magic. And I'm just on my way back to the Underground Palace to find Gnome. But yeah, that's pretty much about it. I did get to the Dwarf Cavern and stop playing because I hate the music down there. It drives me insane. Just one sort of quick note about the game is that they are making there is a remake for it coming out in Japan to mobile phones, and I'm really hoping that it does make its way to DSiWare or something.
Mobile phones?
A lot of...
Are we talking about Secret of Mana?
Yeah.
Coming out on mobile phones?
Yeah.
Is it multiplayer?
But yeah, it is coming out in Japan. So I'm hoping DSiWare gets it. But they're doing a lot of that stuff, like with Final Fantasy IV, the After Years, and some other stuff, so hopefully we'll see it more. And the only other thing I've really been playing is Metroid Prime Trilogy. I've just gotten the Ice Beam, and I think I'm about 35% completion for the game, which is like 6 hours. I'm not really sure if that's good or bad. The game still looks amazing 7 years later, like better than most of the stuff we're getting on the Wii these days. Retro really did a good job with it. Sort of had my... Just finish off the first part where you have in the encounters with the space pirates. I really don't like fighting them. They're just tough as nails. But I love how
they
the music
get
changes.
Easier.
Oh, great. I love how the music changes when they're in the room as well. It just sort of makes
captures the mood.
More stressed. Yeah, it's really good. The controls are amazing. I tried to play the Cube one several times, but could just never get into it. But the controls are really a lot better in this one. With the first person, I don't know. You've both all played it, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about number one, right?
Yeah. Am I the only one who sometimes wishes that you could pull out to third-person view just so you could have a better look at things around?
You can, when you become the Morphball.
No,
just as Samus, I don't know. Sometimes I do want to switch to third-person.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be... It's meant to be immersive. You're meant to be...
I know.
I never really felt that way. When I was playing Metroid Prime, it was the first game that we had with the whole visor view with the HUD... And, you know, when you land on that planet for the first time and you look up into the air, you know, the rain comes down and splats on your visor. And that was all very new back then. So, no, I never really felt I wanted third person. I wanted to get that first person thing where you fire a missile and you can see your reflection in the visor or all that other hoobly-doo like steam on the visor. I felt that that was one of the things that really made the game real, like, as immersive as it is.
It's just annoying sometimes. I just sort of feel like I want to switch back to third person. But the first person does do a really good job of selling the actual world and the environment you're in. Because it does feel like a real living, breathing sort of world that everything's there for a purpose. Except for some of the spots that you can only get through at a morph ball, which just sort of seem like they're put there for the sake of gameplay. I'm like, well, why does this thing need me to be in a ball so it can power up? How does everyone else power it up? It just seems... weird. But yeah,
well, the Chronos only want to be the ones who use it, and they're the only ones who have mastered the Morphball technology.
So
Samus is the only one who's able to hit those switches.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. That makes sense. But yeah, loving every minute of it so far. I really can't wait till I finish it so I can start playing number two. I know a lot of people have hated on it, but I think number two looks a lot better.
Number two has some of the best environments too.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people hating on it just because it uses the old.
I can agree with the environments thing, and I think that number two has definitely got that alien feel more than the other two games. But I didn't like it because I kept getting lost because I was playing the game over like the space of like a year and a half. So when I'd pick it up, I'd have absolutely no idea where I'm going. And because of the way they've designed the game with the dual world and everything, I had no idea where I was. I couldn't even remember if I was in the light world or the dark world sometimes.
Well, really, that's
and
your
then
fault.
In the end, I think I... Well, maybe...
Because you chose to play it late.
I am finding myself getting a bit lost in number one every now and then, sort of not sure what to do next.
Have you got tips turned on?
Yeah, I have.
See, that's the thing about number two. I had tips turned off in number one and had no problems. In number two, I had to turn them on, and even once I did turn them on, they were telling me to go places, and I had no idea how to get there. Or when I was there, I couldn't figure out what the hell I was supposed to do.
They would tell me,
go here, where, and I walked into the room, and there's this big room with all of these keys that I need to insert. And I go in, and I insert all the keys, and then, I insert a couple keys, and I'm like, okay, I've got to go out and collect these other keys, but the hint system is still telling me to go to this room, and that's where I quit playing the game. It was incredibly frustrating.
I'm finding myself getting lost a few times in number one, and I've had to check the FA, a few FAQs. things just to sort of know exactly what I'm meant to do. But that's probably just me being a moron.
Well, it's going to happen a lot more in number two.
I think I've mentioned it before, but it just... I really kind of wish they had have included Hunters in the package. I mean, I know it's a different developer and all that, but the main reason I didn't enjoy Hunters on the DS was the controls. My hand was getting a bit too cramped playing it. And I just think that also could have benefited a lot from the Wii controls and been a lot better game had they included it in the package. That and online multiplayer would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm. But no one would play it, would they?
Hunters?
Yeah, on Wii, no one would play it, would they?
I would.
Yeah, but that's not really... doesn't really mean anything.
Hunters was good, wasn't it? It wasn't just me who didn't like it.
I thought it was terrible, but that was...
Okay.
Well, I reckon Metroid Prime 3 reminded me of Hunters, the whole entire introducing other bounty hunters thing. It didn't feel like a Prime game. And Corruption only barely felt like a Prime game for me. But I mean, yeah.
Okay, so I think that'll do for games played. So quick break and we'll be back with a whole lot of news. Welcome back, let's get straight into news. Nintendo has unveiled a new Nintendo DSi model. It's basically just going to be a revision of the DSi, but a lot larger. It's called the DSi LL in Japan and DSi XL for the rest of the world. The new model is a fair bit larger than the original DSi, with two 4.2-inch screens on the... and da-da-da... compared to the DSi...
It's for old people with
3.25, compared to the DSi 3.25 screens. The stylus is all going to be 4 millimeters longer than the DSi's equivalent. It manages to achieve an extra 1 to 3 hours of battery life. The whole system is a lot larger. It's going to be 50% heavier than the current DSi. As Anthony said, the whole idea of the system is just for older people who have poor eyes, which just sort of shows the market Nintendo's moving into a lot. The Japanese one will include 3 bundled apps, a little bit of brain training arts, a little bit of brain training science, and some name I can't pronounce, which is probably to speak some, I think, English or something. It's planned for release in Japan in November 21st and coming out to the rest of the world sometime early next year, although we have not had confirmation that it's coming out down here yet.
Mm-hmm. Next piece of news.
No one really cares about it. James, anything you care about the DSi XL or not really interested in it? No opinions?
Not really.
Don't care.
The only thing that, like, I have to say, I've already posted in the forums, it's a lot of people, I mean, are buying the DSi right now that are older, but they're buying it because there's, like, a lot of them do ask, not making sense.
No, I sort of... It's going to be good for the older people, but a lot of people probably would buy one, already have one.
Yeah.
It's going to let them cheat on site training.
A lot of people come into this, like, where I work, and they come in all the time asking if there are models available that are larger or have larger pens because they feel they're too small or finicky for them.
I love the new stylus. I reckon it looks awesome.
And they also ask, you know, if there is a larger model available, and I'm always like, you know, sorry. The only larger model we have is a second-hand original DS, and
it's
you know,
crap.
Yeah, I know. So they buy one, a DS Lite or a DSi, because there's nothing else available for them. So yeah, I mean, but now with this, they will have that option, and I suppose it will maybe bring out, because there are a lot of people too. You'd be surprised how many people walk away when they say, you know, I can't use these ones; they hurt my hands or something like that. Because I have a lot of people wanting to buy the original one because they feel that they've got something wrong with their wrist or something like that, and they just can't hold them, the smaller ones, without getting cramped up and stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of clever, but I'm just wondering how much it's going to cost.
That's, DSi is already $300. So maybe it will be $300 as well. It's just going to be a larger model of it. You can't really do it. It's probably the exact same tech, but larger.
No, so Nintendo, they'll put another $50 on it.
I love the stylus. That looks stylus looks awesome. Next bit of news: a whole heap of downloadable games have just sort of been announced. Unveiled, found out about last week. A little bit of touch golf has been rated by the OFLC. It is most likely the 2005 DS retail title True Swing Golf or Nintendo Touch Golf Birdie Challenge, as it was known here. But we're not sure at this stage if it's just going to be the full retail edition or just a toned down version, as all the other a little bit of games have been thus far. After three Rayman Raving Rabbits titles, Rayman is coming back. It's going to be a more traditional Rayman game on the way, with a rating for Germany, USK, including revealing Rayman DSiWare. What makes us think this isn't another minigame collection is that the genre is listed as jump and run instead of minigame. If this is true, it seems likely that it would be similar to, if not a remake, of the original 2D titles from the series. Has anyone played the original Rayman?
Yeah, I would have when it first came out, but I mean, now, I can't even remember it. I kind of feel sorry for Rayman. He's been pushed aside for the rabbits.
Well, the rabbits are awesome. Kind of. Other news, another
really.
Game that's been...
The rabbits are everywhere on Flipnote Studio.
And lots of Kirby on there. And yeah, also...
Kirby's awesome,
classic Nintendo franchise is getting a redo on WiiWare. Excitebike World Rally has been unveiled via the Nintendo channel. It's going to be an updated version of the NES original and will be coming to WiiWare. Fans of the original will be very pleased to find the classic control options is exactly as they were in the NES game. For those wanting something a little different, a motion control version will be available. Have you guys seen pictures of the game at all?
No.
Okay. It pretty much looks like the original, but it's also 3D. Like, you can... It's got a really cool-looking 3D sprite look to it.
I played the original Sightblack, and I really did not like it. Sorry.
I'm not interested in this either, to be honest.
I am. Okay. Da-da-da, but yeah, it awesome little 3D look. Harkens back to the 2D stuff. It's also going to, same as in the original, you can make your own levels, and you can share them online. I'm not sure if it's got online play or not. That I'm hoping it does, because that would just be freaking awesome. But I'm not 100% sure. It's coming out to WiiWare in America soonish. And, of course, we don't have a date for it yet. It's sort of weird that after trying to reboot the Excite franchise several times with Excite Truck and Excite Bots, that they're just sort of going back to the original. Just strikes me as weird.
To be honest, I don't find it very exciting.
You liked his Cyborgs, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That was quite fun. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But that was cool because
worth
it was something different.
What?
Is it worth importing Excitebots?
I reckon it would be. If you like Excitetruck, this just basically takes everything in Excitetruck and makes it a little bit more interesting.
And I'm pretty sure the new Excitebike's actually also made by the same guys who did Excitebots and Excitetruck. You can't tell me that doesn't look cool.
Excitetruck is only $10 at Big W, just so you know.
For as much as this is going to cost when
just
it comes out on WiiWare.
For your information.
Might want to go pick out the WiiWare one. And I'm also sort of hoping that now they are doing this, that they are going to go back to a couple of the older franchises, and do it as well. Like, I don't know, a semi-decent...
Star Fox.
And we'll get to Star Fox in a minute. A semi-decent Ice Climbers, or maybe remake the original Mario Brothers. The single screen one where you're in the pipes and all that, which would be awesome with online play.
Yep.
Okay. No one cares but me. Spirit Tracks is Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks is going to be getting a special edition in the UK at least. It seems people will be able to pick up a limited edition Spirit Tracks pack, which will be the game in a tin case along with two figurines, one of Link and one of the Phantom Guard. No word yet on if this is coming down here. But we can hope. It's nice to really see Nintendo's finally getting on the special edition bandwagon, like with Metroid Prime Trilogy and now this, and hopefully we shall see more stuff in the future with the likes of Super Mario Galaxy 2, Metroid Other M, and the new Wii Zelda title when that finally comes out.
Is that actually confirmed?
It hasn't been confirmed yet. Oh no, probably wishful thinking on my behalf. But that you've seen the pack, haven't you, James?
Yeah, I have. And the
it looks pretty good.
It looks pretty fake.
How does it look fake?
The figurines are flat.
Oh, well, it might just be promotional images only.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's so random for them to be bringing out a special edition. That's why I'm skeptical as to whether it's real or not.
I'm hoping it's real. But look, they are doing that now. Like, look, they did it with Metroid Prime.
True. They need Steelbook DS cases. That would be awesome.
Mm, but yeah, it'll hopefully be something that they start doing more moving forward. It's like, well, a lot of developers have been doing it, but Nintendo's sort of been holding back on it in the past. Short one here. New Super Mario Bros. Has been dated for Australia. The game is going to be coming out on the 12th of November in its bright red, shiny box. 12th of November, however, is also the same day A Boy and His Blob looks to be coming out. Hopefully Mario doesn't overshadow A Boy and His Blob. But it is going to overshadow A Boy and His Blob. So, yeah.
Well, it began.
One of them is going to be overshadowed by everything else.
Do you think New Super Mario Bros. Is going to be overshadowed?
Yeah, on other consoles.
I don't know. I reckon that's going to be one of the biggest games this year.
I'm really looking forward to it. But it should be on DS.
Oh, what a nice widescreen Mario game. I was really sceptical of it at first, but now I'm hearing more and more stuff about it, and the single player is apparently really good. It has the Koopa kids in it.
I was being sarcastic, by the way.
What, you don't want it?
No. I'm happy with it being on Wii. I think Anthony knows what I'm talking about.
What?
I think it might have been Plasma, wanted it to be on the DS.
Never. Because he doesn't own a Wii, does he?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, whatever. It's the same thing as Epic Mickey. People whining about it because it's not on the console they own. Well, if you want the game that much,
is Epic Mickey? Is Epic Mickey in the news? Or can we talk about it now?
It was last week.
Oh, bugger.
Should we go over that again because Anthony wasn't here?
Well, Anthony, do you want to gush about Epic Mickey for a bit?
I find it interesting. I haven't really been reading on books much, but on other forums, a lot of people just kind of be dismissing it out of hand because the graphics are shit.
I mean, the graphics are awesome.
I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, but Anthony hasn't listened to the podcast.
I'm not exactly sure what you talked about.
We talked about Epic Mickey.
And the graphics and and everything.
It annoys me people are going off at it because it should be on a 360. We can't do it justice. I'm like, bull crap. If people push the Wii, it can do good graphics. And with Wii games, it's more about the art style you choose than the graphics. And Epic Mickey is a game that oozes art style.
It's Wii exclusive because it can only be done on the Wii. When we start to see gameplay videos of it, it all makes sense. We'll all look at it and go, wow, we can't do that on the 360. That's why it's on the Wii.
Apparently there's off-screen footage floating around somewhere on the internet, but I haven't been able to find it.
Anyway, it's going to be one of the big games for the Wii this entire generation. Oh, yeah. It's going to be really, really good. Don't think, it's Disney. It looks like a PS2 game. I'm not going to play it. This is coming from the guy who created Thief and System Shock and Deus Ex, some of the greatest games of all time. Give him a chance.
Cool. Getting back on the topic about Mario, a new Mario game has been hinted at by Charles Martinet. On his Twitter feed, he posted the following: awesome new Mario game, and it's not New Super Mario Bros. Wii, and it's not Galaxy 2, but it's going to be crazy fun. Kind of have to wonder what the new game is going to be, because it seems like Wii sort of tied up with Mario games right now. Possibly could be something for DS, or maybe just another Mario Party game. Because, it's been probably 2 years since the last one.
Oh, my God, I can't wait for the new Mario Party.
I can.
No, yeah, the last one was terrible, so they're going to have to fix it. That's why it's going to be good.
Mario Party with Wii Speak?
And with one widescreen?
Yeah. I don't know, what else could it be? A new Paper Mario game, or a new Mario Kart, or maybe a new Mario Sports game?
It should be Mario Party online. That would be amazing. Couch versus couch.
Okay. Couple more quick ones, just to sort of finish this off. Muramasa's not getting any love from UK retailers. Many retailers are choosing not to stock Muramasa, the Demon Blade, in the UK because of its target audience. We all, from all the reviews so far, are saying the game is really good, but it seems a lot of retailers in the UK don't care, preferring to stock games that are first party, a sequel, or having a huge advertising budget. This trend is becoming worse and worse, says Martin Furries from Rising Star. Here in the UK, the game will not be available to buy in a majority of video game retail outlets. Evidently, this is not because of the game's quality, not because it is delayed or it's late, and not because of the absence of pre-awareness public relations. It is because retailers are becoming increasingly choosy and actively reducing the variety it offers to consumers. If it's not first party or a sequel or whatever, they don't care about it. However, Muramasa Demon Blade is going to be getting a full release down here. The Namco Bandai have confirmed this.
But they're not stocking Boy and His Blob.
What?
EB Games aren't stocking Lone and Blob, as far as I know, but they're stocking Kira Master.
That's just crap that people say, no, I don't want to release that. We're not going to stock that game because we don't want to, and we don't think it's not Mario Party or Wii Fit or whatever. It just seems a bit annoying that that year and a bit where the Wii wasn't getting a lot of games have really hurt it now, because now it is getting all the really good hardcore games, and hardcore gamers have moved on from the Wii to other stuff and just sort of don't care about it, and now we're getting the games and no one's there to buy them.
A lot of them still say that these hardcore games don't exist, so they're not even aware.
But they do.
Because those people are just dumb and uninformed.
Epic Mickey should be on 360. talking a bit about Star Fox.
That's a really good imitation.
That's why I'm so glad I don't play Xbox Live, because I really don't want to deal with those people.
Play Borderlands with us.
Anthony, you love Star Fox, don't you?
Yeah,
apparently Shigeru Miyamoto doesn't think enough people do. The creator of Mario has said he expected a lot more popularity from the 3D space shooting series. We might have been a bit spoilt when it comes to sales of Nintendo games this generation, but it's important to remember this definitely wasn't always the case. This is a quote from Shigeru, apparently. When asked if he thought that any of his games didn't have as much popularity as he might have expected, Shiggy responded this: I tend to forget those games. I'm a big fan of the Star Fox games. Every time we make a Star Fox game, I'm hoping people enjoy it as much as I do. Of course, the goal every time is to try and make it more and more fun. But
I think James is trying to talk.
The people that purchase the Star Fox games have decreased over the years. But we still try to make them more fun, and hopefully people will see the appeal in the games. James, what do you think of that?
I think that, you know, what do you expect? The last three Star Fox games.
Command was awesome.
Star Fox Command is awesome. I don't care what anyone else says.
You're all idiots.
It's a brilliant game.
They've got to stop farming them out to other companies and start developing games. Like, for example, Star Fox 64, or Lila Wars, that was developed by...
Rare.
Nintendo.
No, it was developed by Rare.
Star Fox 64.
Yeah, that was Rare.
No, it wasn't.
Yes,
Star
it was.
Star Fox Adventures.
What are you talking about, Flame?
Star Fox 6 Light Wars was Rare.
Are you retarded?
No, it wasn't made by Rare.
It was made by Nintendo EAD.
I always thought they did.
Is this a joke?
No, because I'm looking at the bloody Wikipedia page and it says Nintendo EAD made 64.
Anyway.
Ignore me!
Now that I'm right. There's no Rare logos on the game.
I swear it was my Rare. How the hell did I think that?
If you could see my face right now, cringing in disappointment.
Star Fox Adventure wasn't that bad.
No, okay. Star Fox Adventure was good. I'll give it that. But, I mean, realistically, it wasn't that good as a Star Fox game.
Oh, no. It should have been Dinosaur Planet.
Yeah, exactly. Star Fox Assault was terrible, and that was developed by Namco. And Star Fox Command was developed by Q Games.
Yeah, okay. Now, Q Games has got guys in it who worked on the original Star Fox and Star Fox 2, which got cancelled.
Yes.
And Star Fox Command is awesome anyway.
No, it's not. They need to get EAD, the guys who made Star Fox 64, and make, like, a new epic, like, basically Lila Wars all over again, but maybe changed up a bit, just so people don't complain about nothing new. And then watch the sale come in. And then they should
EAD is never going to make one like that. That Star Fox is going to stay alive by being farmed out. That's my theory.
What was wrong with Command?
It just wasn't as not good as the other one. And the touchscreen things were so, like...
I agree. The touchscreen controls, they probably should have just gone normal controls. But, I mean, I like that the mission... I mean, again, you're designing a game for a handheld console, so you have to make it with handheld in mind, which is why the missions are a lot more broken down and smaller and in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, that's true.
It was designed for a handheld. If it had been on a console, it would have been a lot larger and a lot grander.
To be honest, it felt like an arcade game. I really like the idea of Star Fox Assault.
I think everyone did, and then the on-foot stuff came out, like, no, we don't.
Yeah, no.
I've not played it, but the first level was really good, wasn't it? And then from there, it just went shit.
I don't know. I think that the idea of, you know, having these epic battles on seat and then, you know, people running to their planes, getting up, like, that's like a seamless kind of battle system would be really, really cool and would suit this.
Well, it works with Star Wars Battlefront, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that kind of setup. They should probably try. I mean, I thought that would work, but apparently it didn't. I'm not 100% sure what they can do from here, because it is a hard franchise that seems to revive. But they'll always have that dedicated solo expiry.
It's not just the franchise, it's the entire genre which is dead.
Oh, yeah.
True.
No one really plays those games.
I follow the flight games fairly closely, and we did get Birds of Prey and some other, like, Heroes Over Europe or some crap like that.
But
there's just no, IL-2 Birds of Prey, but there's just not, the genre in as a whole is pretty much dead. So, it's not just Star Fox.
How good did Star Fox Adventures look? It was such a beautiful looking game.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe if Nintendo made a really good Star Fox game, it would kick that genre back in. I mean, Star Fox is very similar to Sin and Punishment, an on-rails 3D shooter.
Not really.
I don't know, I thought they played very similar.
I suppose.
So hopefully we'll see more of that. I don't know, I really enjoyed Command, despite the fact James is evil and hates it. And the first... They should just bring Star Fox, the first one, out on Virtual Console, because that's still an awesome game, despite the uber polygon look to it.
They haven't done it already.
No, they haven't. They got Light Wars. One last piece of news, which I didn't really write anything up for, but I'll mention it anyway. Apparently, GoldenEye is possibly maybe coming to the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
According to a now pulled resume from game developer Craig Peck, used to work for works for Activision, the company is now working on a new GoldenEye game, which is due for release next year, and it will be heading to the Wii and the Xbox 360. The leak resume contains such revealing statements such as a confirmation of working on Activision's Jane Bond series for Nintendo Wii, game working such as keyframe animation, hopefully this will be the real deal now, unlike last time we got told there was a new GoldenEye coming out and it was GoldenEye Rogue Agent.
It's not going to be like Rogue Agent, yeah.
I got Rogue Agent on DS and that was enough for me.
But how do we know that it's not going to be something like Rogue Agent?
Well, we don't. It could just be. I mean, I think everyone...
There's a few things that I think about this that look really good. I think, is it Eurocom's the company that's developing, right? Well,
I think so, I'm not sure.
Eurocom didn't develop Rogue Agents, so that's the first plus. Second of all, they developed The World Is Not Enough on Nintendo 64, which I believe was quite fun, if I remember correctly. Did you guys play World Is Not Enough?
I've heard good stuff about it, not played it.
Yeah, well, that was really
probably
good. And lastly, they developed Dead Space. They helped develop Dead Space Extraction, which is quite honestly one of the best technical feats I've seen on the Nintendo Wii for quite some time from a third party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Brooke can attest to this too if he was here. But I mean, it's lots potential, but hopefully it's just not some horrible, horrible mishmash of villains and heroes from the other games that made no sense.
I'd just be happy if they just took the assets from the game and made it look current.
You know, they can't do that legally. Oh, wait a second. And they developed Nightfire as well, which is quite fun too. I mean, there's a lot of potential in this project if it is true and it's going to turn out, but...
They've got to be very careful though, because when you start... It's what happened with VA, with Rogue Agent. If you market a game as the sequel to GoldenEye, you better bloody deliver on it, because a lot of people hold that game very highly, and if you mess up on it, people are going to be all over you.
Yeah.
Do you think they even care about that?
I don't think they do.
No,
they just care about people buying
into it.
Like, Rare was working on a HD remake, weren't they?
Allegedly, yes.
And then Nintendo said, no, we're not doing that, because Nintendo didn't want to play nice.
Wait, doesn't Activision hold the license for the Bond game?
Yeah, Activision holds the rights, but the GoldenEye was a Nintendo game and made by Rare, so it's all just...
It's
really
got
messy.
Nothing to do with Nintendo, seriously. It's just slander.
So how does EA have anything to do... Wait, is this EA?
Because EA used to have the GoldenEye license, but Activision has it now.
So how is this game going to even see the light of day?
No, because Activision's the one who's working on it.
So that was EA?
No, EA made GoldenEye Rogue Agent.
Oh, Right. How would you feel about, like, GoldenEye, like the story of the GoldenEye movie, but in the style of Everything or Nothing, or From Russia with Love?
What, the third person?
Yeah.
Nah.
American
Reserve. Oh, no, okay. If it's third person, I don't like just straight third person shooter action games. I'd like to have, like, platforming elements and stuff. I'm surprised. Have any GoldenEye games really. Any Bond games, have they made one that's sort of like an Assassin's Creed or a stealthy sort of game?
No, I haven't played From Russia with Love, but so far I don't think so.
Because, you mean, that would be a natural fit for Bond, wouldn't it?
Well, there's a few stealthy levels and stuff in the game, but, I mean. Nothing major.
I'm starting to think along the lines of Alpha Protocol. What's the spy RPG?
Not played it.
It's a spy espionage. It's not out.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting.
But that's
to see
got
what
like
happens.
Dialogue and things like that.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with a new gold. If this does happen, because it'd be really good to have a online, really nice looking version of GoldenEye for the Wii. And if that doesn't come out, you can always play Perfect Dark when it comes out on Xbox Live Arcade later this year. But I think, yeah, that's pretty much it for the news. I don't know if we've got enough time for a hot topic, so we'll skip that this week, and we'll be back after the break just to wrap up. Anthony, just before we get into stuff going on with the site, any good bargains that you want to just do a quick wrap-up of?
Big W have a sale on at the moment, a really, really good one. But if you're listening to this in the podcast, you're probably already too late. They were flogging off games for like $5, $10, $15 on pretty much all the platforms. So, I don't know. Go to Big W and start scanning games. So like Site Truck and Trauma Center are like $10 and other crazy prices like that. But yeah, they're pretty much sold out, I reckon, by now.
Cool. When does the sale finish?
When stocks run out.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Check it out. Might still be there. I do want to point out
that The World Ends With You is $25 at JB Hi-Fi and Soul Bubbles is $25 at Target. Get them both.
Awesome games. I don't know how much Yarn Assistance is. I found it for $40. You might find it for cheaper. I don't know. James, Mr. Community Manager, what's happening with the site?
the only thing that's new at the moment is we've got four new reviews up since the last podcast. Two of them done by Tudy, Beatles Rock Band and Spectrobes Origins. Spectrobes Origins is apparently worth checking out. Beatles Rock Band, you pretty much know what to expect. And then I did earlier this week, or last week maybe, Ghostbusters video game, which is due out, I believe,
about
this
2 weeks.
Yeah, due out this month, and Venture Prime Trilogy, which I think just recently came out. So yeah.
Pretty good reviews on the site, actually. You're scoring reasonably highish, so cool.
Yeah.
Also on the site, main reason he's not here, Vuk is currently over at the eGames Expo in the Eastern States. He's got some good hands-on and some photos of everything going on there.
Red Steel 2, Rabbids Go Home.
I think a boy in his blob as well he was playing, but he said he didn't want to play much of that because he'd rather play that at home rather than at some convention. But yeah, there's lots of photos there, and check that on the site. I don't know what else new we've got. Aren't any competitions currently running, and the Mario and Sonic one just finished the other day. Yep, so that's pretty much about it. So anything else you want to say, James or Anthony?
Nothing at the moment.
Besides the fact that Modern Warfare should get banned.
No, let's not bring that up. That never happened.
Okay, cool. Anthony?
No, not really.
Are we going to have a moment silence for the fact that your GeoCities page has finally gone down?
No, if more you really Anthony's want.
GoldenEye page. I think it's a loss to the internet that page doesn't exist anymore.
So I believe what episode number is this?
48. Two episodes away from episode 50.
We're gonna have to do something special.
Yeah, I have no idea yet. Vuk wants me to do like a highlight reel of stuff from old episodes, and I'm like, that means listening to old episodes.
Yeah, that would take ages.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. So, not sure what we're going to do yet. I mean, if anyone's got any ideas, post it up in the forum thread for when this one goes live. But other than that, probably leave that at that for now, and we'll be catching you next time. Thanks for showing up, James and Anthony.
No problem.
You're welcome.
And at least we're not sweltering in the heat this week, so we'll catch you next time. Cue random weird song this time that won't be Norwegian. Each afternoon, there's nothing as suitable as tea and Mickey's with the bold and beautiful. While outside is sending me crazy, I'll be a thorn if you'll be my Macy. She's been sneaking round with Deacon. He wants her and his baby back. But she's married now to Rick, who is an unsuspecting victim. Rick's mum, Brooke, tried to warn him, but he didn't want to listen. Hey, Brooke and Deacon are now lovers, but in direct retaliation to Rick and Amber's marriage, Deacon married Rick's relation. And in the sick and twisted world where blood appears as thin as water, Deacon's wife is Rick's sister Bridget, and therefore Brooke's daughter. Each afternoon and there's nothing as suitable as tea and Mickey's with the bald and the beautiful. We'll get up late and have a 3 p.m. brekkie. I'll be your CJ if you be my Becky. Eric, Ridge and Thorn have all been married to Brooke, but of the forest, the men, it's on Rick's that she's hooked. Ridge is now...